Prabhupada Paramahamsa Parivar Jagacharya Sudasata Shishimadi Devan Gaisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shlurupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda Ki Kanta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande. All those assembled devotees, all those assembled devotees, all those assembled devotees, all those to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gau Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshaka Patubhyacha Kripa Sinyubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatateshtarine Shlupada Ki. Prabhupada gives one story. He speaks about one Brahmin, a caste Brahmin. And this caste Brahmin was very hungry. He couldn't find any food anywhere. He was going house to house. And then he came to a Muslim house, a house with Islamic people. So they said, yes, we have. You come in. He knows if a caste Brahmin eats in a Muslim house, he will lose his caste. But he was so hungry that he said, I have to eat. So when he went to eat, the food was so distasteful that he couldn't eat. So first he was hankering, I'm hungry. And then he was lamenting, first the food is so bad, I'm still hungry. And then I lost my caste. So that's the material world. The hankering process is so strong. We lament and we hanker. Prabhupada gives the example of the dog in the desert running for the water, the mirage. And he's running, running, he's thinking there's water, he's running, 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 he thinks there's water, and then he dies. So Maya is so powerful that we're running for water, we don't find water, then she tells us go on the other side, there's no water, then she says go on the other side, there's no water, then we go on the other side, there's no water. So she's so powerful that she brought us in and she keeps us in. She knows how to keep. She never says it's her fault. She says you don't know where to look. So we're looking for water, we're not finding. We're looking, we're hankering all the time. Even if you take the story of Dhruva Maharaj, for example, he was hankering so badly. His lips was trembling. So angry against his father and his mother-in-law, stepmother. So he decided that I'm going to get a kingdom bigger than my great-grandfather. Hankering, so much hankering. He's so powerful. Like we were reading, I was telling in the Russian class, the story of Chitraketu. So imagine Chitraketu was a big man, at least 6 foot tall, 300 pounds. Very powerful man, like Arjuna. He could fight thousands of men. But still, if you look at the story of Chitraketu, when he learned that his son died, he became blind. The pain was so powerful, he became blind. Then when he started walking, he couldn't walk. He was so much blinded that he was tipping from one side to another. He was so disturbed that he couldn't even walk. And then when he got to his son, he fell unconscious. Then he started crying. Imagine, 6.5 foot tall, 300 pounds. He can suffer any kind of torture. He can fight. But still he's crying. He was brought down to his knees. Like Arjuna also, so powerful. Arjuna is ready to jump in the fire so many times if his vow is not satisfied. But he is crying in front of the battlefield. His hands are slipping, his gandiva is falling, his hair standing on end. He's totally bewildered, his mind is reeling. So what is the power that brings such men to their knees? Imagine such powerful men and they're brought down on the floor. It's the attachment. The attachment, imagine, Chittaketu had 1 million times hankering for a child. He had 1 million wives. So imagine how many times his attachment was becoming, the knot of attachment was becoming strong in his heart. He tried 1 million times, and we don't know how many times he wanted his son. Finally, he got his son. Oh. And then when he lost his son, it was too much to bear. It was impossible to bear because its attachment was so powerful, it built up so much that he couldn't tolerate. So that's the hankering process in the material world, that we go on and we go on. That's why Prabhupada says that Maya is kicking the materialists in the face and they say, give me more, give me more. Prabhupada says like this. But this hankering process is not just for non-devotees, it's for us also. Because this is what stops us from making spiritual advancement. We hanker. Obviously, we become more subtle in our hankering. We have the hankering for, you know, power, and we have the hankering for recognition. So it becomes more subtle and subtle. Like Jayapataka Maharaj says in his book, Vaishnava Ke, that it's easy, the gross material attachments are not so difficult, but then there's an ocean of subtle desires. So it is that hankering that stops us from spiritual advancement. So that's why Krishna comes. All these festivals that we have, like Janmashtami, Radhastami, all these are there to make us remember, because when Krishna comes, he is so beautiful, he is so attractive, he's so amazing that the mind becomes attracted. He comes down with his amazing pastimes, with his associates, and he displays this amazing happiness. Prabhupada says, you don't see Krishna smoking in pictures. Huh? He says like that. Do you see Krishna smoking? He doesn't smoke. Krishna's always happy. Krishna's always, and he wants the living entity to partake of his happiness also. Because if someone takes shelter of Krishna, he will also enjoy the happiness that he's enjoying. And therefore he comes down and he displays us these amazing pastimes. Can you imagine someone who has all power? Because we naturally become attracted. If someone's very strong, then we become naturally attracted. If someone's a leader, we naturally want to follow them. Very beautiful woman, very beautiful man. Oh my God, so attractive. Someone who has knowledge, he can quote verses, he can speak the Vedas. So much attraction is there. Famous people. I mean, imagine George Harrison, he became a devotee. Famous people. Someone told Prabhupada once, there was a very important man who may be interested by Krishna consciousness. So the devotee said, oh, if he becomes a devotee, it's going to be very good for Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, I don't care. I only speak when they're ready. Whether they be famous, non-famous, whenever they're ready to hear, then I speak to them. But still, we're attracted by fame. We're attracted when someone's very renounced, when someone displays renunciation, we become attracted. And knowledge, all these things we become attracted. But imagine one person who has all of them together. That's why we become attracted by Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna has everything. It's like you can't even think of, even Krishna as a baby, he's killing Putana, he's killing the car demon by pressing with his feet. Just a little tiny baby. Now Krishna says that, Prabhupada explains that it's not that Krishna has to become old to become strong. As a baby, as an adult, he's always strong. He always has the potency of God. He always has the potency of Krishna. So it is this attraction that we have for Krishna when Krishna displays his pastimes through the association of devotees. That's why it's so important to come to Bhagavatam class. It's so important to sit down and hear, especially during the festival times, about Krishna. You know, that this pastime, what Prabhupada was reading Krishna book to the devotees, and he read like till midnight, and all the devotees were falling asleep, and Prabhupada was just reading and reading, because our attraction is not that strong. But the only way for us to get free from the hankering process is to hanker for Krishna. And that's why Krishna comes, only for that reason. He doesn't really come to kill the demons. He comes for his devotees. And his devotees mean people who become attracted to him. And then he displays all these wonderful pastimes. And then we become attracted by hearing them. Like today, I thought the deities looked so beautiful. If you look at the eyes, at the painting, everything is meant to attract our mind. That's why it's so important to be living with devotees, close to temples, close to association, because then our mind can become attracted. And then we can push back the desire for material life in this way. Like the gopis. Imagine the love of Radharani. Radharani is saying that when you're happy, I'm happy. But if I'm not happy, and you happy, it makes me very happy. If you're happy because I'm not happy, that makes me really happy. Imagine the selfless love of Radharani. Who will say to someone that I'm not happy, this makes you happy? I'm so happy, you're happy, I'm not happy. Materially, it doesn't make sense. But spiritually, it makes sense because we have the habit for billions of years to live separate from Krishna's pleasure. We thinking, today I want to become independent. I'm not going to Mangal Aarti. It's my decision. But we don't understand that when we take my decision, it's the mind's decision. Because for billions of years we've been identifying with the mind, so we're thinking whenever this little voice speaks, it's me. Because there's only Krishna or Maya. Where there's Maya, there's no Krishna. Where there's Krishna, there's no Maya. So I was telling an SMIS, if Maya don't speak to you, Krishna will speak to you. One who has controlled his mind and his intelligence, the Bhagavad Gita said, he has reached the super soul. And the super soul will speak to him. Prabhupada was always in association with Krishna. Prabhupada was always speaking with Krishna. It seems inconceivable. But when you take out the layer of material life, what is left? Krishna. So when you can take out the covering, Krishna will appear. Like Prabhupada says, Krishna will put your hand on your shoulder, you will put your hand on Krishna's shoulder, and you will look at him face to face. Lord Brahma shook hands with Krishna face to face. It seems to be a myth, but it's not a myth. It's reality. So whenever we don't, that's why the Gurukul system is there. The Gurukul system means, or the training system, Vedic system, is to replace the mind of the child by the mind of Guru, Krishna and Shastra. So that when he grows up and he goes into family life and his mind is telling, do this, he said, no, 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 I can't do this, I have to do this. Yes, he's brainwashed. Prabhupada was saying, we don't brainwash, we clean the brains from the brainwashing. Like that. Because the mind is so used for billions of years to fix the mind on Maya that it's thinking, it's me. So that's why Radharani is saying, I don't care for my pleasure. Because I know that when you please, I become pleased. Because Krishna is the source of everything. So therefore Krishna displays his pastime so we can become attracted. And what do the gopis, the Manjari says and the other gopis? They don't want to serve Krishna directly. They want to serve the Radharani to please Krishna because they know that if Krishna is served by Radharani, he'll be pleased. And I only want Krishna's pleasure. So when we can develop that mood to understand that my pleasure is connected to Krishna's pleasure, if Krishna is pleased, I will become happy. And we know this. When people come to temples and they start chanting, they become so happy. And we become happy when we do service, even though we're tired, we feel that kind of energy inside because Krishna is displaying that happiness and he's giving it to us also. But at the moment that we're cutting down, that means we're shutting the connection, then everything dies. Prabhupada was doing a morning walk and he came to one branch and the branch was dead. So he explained, this is what it is. He said, when you cut the branch, it dies from the tree. So the process of material life is to cut ourselves from Krishna's association. And the moment we cut, we die. We're thinking we have life, but there's no life. At the moment we connect, then we feel full of pleasures. So we have to clean the mind to understand. And even though we devotees, we still have this conditioning that I need to satisfy. I have certain desires, I must satisfy them. Obviously we can't be artificial, but still ultimately, Prabhupada says it takes 1 second to surrender to Krishna. Just say, Krishna, you're God and I'm your servant. The moment this is realized, you're already in the spiritual world. So the gopis' display of love is our example. Radharani, when Krishna wants to enjoy with a woman, he cannot go with ordinary woman. He creates his own woman, Prabhupada says. He expands as his pleasure potency, the Goswami says, and that becomes Radharani. And Radharani controls Krishna. Madan Mohan Da, Prabhupada says, or Madan Mohan Mohini. Ultimately, Krishna controls, but he allows Radharani to control him. And because, in the same way that he allows his devotee to control him also. Prabhupada was saying, we heard it also at the stadium in Delhi, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took India and he gave me the world. Because Krishna wants to show the grandeur of his devotee, how great his devotee is. So now the Gadastami is coming. So if we can become absorbed in the mood of Radharani and the gopis, understand that by hearing all these pastimes, we can become absorbed and we can give up that hankering. Because ultimately, there's no pleasure in the material world. And I'm saying that, but I'm still thinking there's pleasure myself. It's very subtle. There's always a little voice. Maya is so powerful, you know, that your mind is thinking, this is called Bhoga Tyaga, you know, the nectar of devotion, Bhoga Tyaga, renunciation and then sense enjoyment. Renunciation, sense enjoyment. In the Madhu, which one is it? Anyways, it's explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that in the beginning, neophyte stage, we're thinking, okay, now I'm going to renounce, now I'm stopped, now I'm going to go. Steadiness is very difficult. To be steady. So the mind knows, oh, he's going, he's thinking he's going to serve Krishna. He lets her go. He knows he'll come back to me. Because the attachment is so powerful. And then the mind's going to start offering us some things, you know, like little pieces of bread. And then we start looking. The story of Kamal Krishna Maharaj, he was saying that when you sit in Indian train and you're sitting down and it's so full. So there's one mother, Bengali mother, strong. She has like 8 children and she's looking at you. Why? She wants her children to sit also. So what do? You don't look. Because if you look, what's going to happen? One's going to sit. So you're not looking. But at one point you look, then one child is sitting. Then you don't want to look. Then you look again, second child is sitting. At one point you're already on the floor. Because you cannot sit like this. So you leave. So he said, Maya is like that also. You don't want to look, but then you look and she's pushing you. You look, you're pushing you, and then you fall back into the material world. That's what happens to us when we practice Krishna consciousness at a neophyte stage, that we determine, and then Maya looks, and we look, and we look, and boom. It's okay, you pick yourself, we pick ourselves up, and we start again. There's one, I don't know who was, I know who's saying that story, but I forgot his name, this English devotee. He was saying that one devotee came in Prabhupada's room in England, and everyone was young. It was like 3-4 years, and he was a senior devotee, like 3 years in ISKCON. And he told Prabhupada, he says, I cannot get up again. I fell down again, and I cannot get up again. So Prabhupada started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, no problem. He says, when you're a child, you're walking, so many times you will fall. But do not think that you are advanced. Meaning that don't present yourself as an advanced devotee. Falling will be there, and you pick up and you try again. It sticks. It'll take one lifetime. We already back to God. It take 1-2 lifetimes. But don't present yourself as being advanced if the falling is already there. So anyways, just to summarize, now Janmashtami passed, Radhastami is there, Prabhupada was there. So the only way for us to get free from material hankering is really to get absorbed in association and hearing. It's a disease when the mind's thinking that separate yourself from the devotees, hear on your own. There was one devotee here in Mayapur from Africa who wanted to chant on his own. He told Prabhupada that I want to build a bhajan kutir. And Prabhupada was so much against it. But finally he said, okay. So they built a bhajan kutir for him, and a few days later he left. Because without association, we cannot survive. So by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, of Radharani, of the gopis, of the devotees, then our mind becomes absorbed. And it is that absorption that will free us from this material hankering. Bhamabhuta Pasanadmana Sochiti Nakshakangshati. Because our whole life is lamentation and hankering. I want this, not working, I lament. I want this, it doesn't work, I lament. Because it's never going to satisfy us. It's not possible. Material thing cannot satisfy the spiritual aspect of someone. But by hearing the pastime, then gradually becomes absorbed and one can get free from that hankering. So these festivals are so important for us to really take advantage of association with devotees and to hear all the time about the pastimes like this. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes, please.
Since the mind is not spiritual, how does it talk to the conditioned soul?
What do you mean?
It's matter, so how is it covering?
It's covered. It's covering the living entity. The soul is identifying himself with the mind. He's thinking he's material. So there's a covering. Actually, all these elements ultimately are spiritual elements. Nothing is material in the material world. In the spirit, in life, nothing's material. Everything is from Krishna. It's only when it's misused it becomes material. How can something be material from Krishna? Krishna is spiritual. But it's the misuse of it. So when the living entity falls down in the material world, he becomes covered. Like you in class, you're falling asleep. You're still in class, but you're sleeping and you can't hear me. But then you wake up and you say, oh, I'm here. So we're still in the spiritual world. We're just covered. Mahatattva is covering us. So then we're in illusion. It's a dream. A dream doesn't last very long. But still we're thinking it's a dream. We're thinking it's true. So the mind is speaking to the soul. The soul is identifying with the mind. So when the mind is thinking I'm material, it becomes material. No? The mind is very tricky. I mean, the whole Bhagavad Gita is meant for one thing. Do your duty, duty, duty. He told Arjuna, do your duty. When you do your duty, your mind will be controlled. There's one story of Bhujan Prabhu. Bhujan Prabhu wanted to go to Laguna Beach. Bhujan Prabhu was, you know, in the beginning of ISKCON, when people started going out of the temple, it was considered Maya. So there was this whole discussion with Prabhupada to understand, okay, if someone's outside, gets married, what's his position? Because in the beginning, everyone was in the temple. If you went out, you're Maya Prabhu, you get married, you're in Maya Prabhu. Even when I got married, when Sannyasi told me, you were such a nice devotee, what happened? So, I won't give the name of the sannyasi. But the thing is, so they had this whole discussion. So someone offered him to go to Laguna Beach and he was in Mayapur. He wanted to see Prabhupada and he asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'll tell you tomorrow. He went back. Prabhupada said, okay. So when he was at the airport with Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at him and says, why did you change? And what was he doing in Australia? He was making handbags, selling them and sending $100 a month, $200 a month to Prabhupada. And every time Prabhupada would write back, say, thank you very much. So at the airport, Prabhupada told him, why did you change? So he was surprised. He said, I thought I asked you. He said, why did you change? So he realized later that Prabhupada liked better the devotees to be steady. Like even though he was just doing handbags and giving some money to Prabhupada but, and chanting and doing his family life, because he was steady, then there was spiritual advancement. It was better than some fleeting service. He calls it like this, some fleeting, you go to serve, you're like a star, then you change again and then you go again. But steadiness is the secret to spiritual advancement. Every day the same thing. I go to Mangalati, I go to class, daily greeting, I do my seva, I take care of my family, I do my work. Every day, day after day. Because what happens then the mind becomes trained that, oh, this is what I have to do. It's like an animal. You push it this way. But if one day you do this, one day you do that, jumping up and down, then the mind is still controlling. So steadiness, that's what the Bhagavad Gita is telling Arjuna. You don't think it's right, but I'm telling you it's right. So you fight, because, and although it's painful, Vishwanath Chakravitaku in his discussion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna you should do it, and Arjuna is saying, I understand, but it's very difficult. And Krishna says, yeah, it's difficult, but you must do it. So it's not that life is easy. We've been suffering for billions of years. This is our life. This process is meant to be one life process. In this life we can go back. This is assured by Prabhupada. I don't know if you know this, past times Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan in Mayapur, Jayapataka is saying, and he's preaching heavily. He's saying, you must 100% follow the process to go back to Godhead. And then he saw the devotees were totally, you know, it's too much. So he said, okay, 90%. 90% you can go back. Then he goes, he said, okay, 80% then you can go back. Then he goes down, Jayapataka Maharaj says, he goes down, it was a high Vyasasan, goes down. He takes his chatter, that's the way he tells the story. He's taking his chatter, he put it around his neck. And he's going and he turns around with his cane, okay, 70%. Because ultimately it is not our endeavor. It is Krishna being pleased. If Krishna is pleased, he'll take you out. Even if you're struggling, what do you think about these devotees that were with Prabhupada? And they served Prabhupada and later they fell. Do you think Prabhupada is not going to take care of them? They did so much service. Prabhupada will arrange for them to go back. So similarly, whatever happens, if there's sincerity and we're trying hard, Krishna just wants to see that we're trying. He's not expecting perfection. Perfection Krishna will give us. Like Bhaktisiddhanta says that, don't try to see Krishna, act in such a way that He will see us. So if we do things properly with great determination and we try our best, Krishna will make all arrangements for us to go back. But the problem is the mind. The mind is always telling us to do something else. So if we can understand that, whenever something speaks to us, it's not, you should always compare. Is this what they say in the scriptures? Is this what they say and the guru is saying? No. Okay, that's my mind. The problem is when we start associating with the idea of the mind, then it's very difficult to get free from it. And that's why the association between man, woman, our duties, how we do things is very strict. Because at the moment that there's a combination of association or a combination with material desires, then it's unstoppable. You know, this in Bhagavad Gita they say you look at it, you get attracted, lust develops, you can't get it, you get angry, you fall back in the pool. So the mind, it's always the mind. This is the first thing, is the mind. If you can't control the mind, you can't control your senses and you can't go to Brahmabhutta. You start devotional service at Brahmabhutta. And na sochati, na kankshati, no limitation, no hankering. Then you can start. Under the clouds, you cannot see the sun. The moment you go over the clouds, then there's hope to go back. Like that. Okay, thank you. Anything else? So anyways, yes, Mataji. The mic is not working. But I will repeat your question. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes, about Hare Krishna, can you hear me? If we're not properly situated in our devotional service, like the story of
Gajendra.
Yeah, Gajendra, and he was out of his element,
yeah.
And he was in the water and
there's a story of Madhu Dvishapu, you know, he was a sannyasi. So he became a sannyasi. He became a grihastha of his sannyasi life. He got married, he had a baby. He hadn't seen Prabhupada. Prabhupada called him in Bombay. He went to see him. And he says, Prabhupada didn't say, why you left sannyas? He says, how's your baby? Where's your wife? So he said, and then he told him the story of Gajendra. He said that the important thing is you situate yourself in a position where you can fight Maya. So he went beyond. Obviously, you should be sannyasi, you shouldn't fall down. But he was there and he was still situated in Krishna consciousness. And that was positive. He didn't leave. So he was explaining. So to be situated means that you have to know what is what you can take in Krishna consciousness, what you can't take. But the problem is that you need an authority. Because the mind will always tell you, this is what I want, this is not what I want. And at one point, you have to follow your authority. You can't just jumping up and down. That this, I'm not situated here, I'm not situated in there. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, you need an authority that will help you. Because it's like to marriage. If you just let people get married, many times they can't see who the person is. But the senior people, they would marry people, they would do astrological chart, and they would figure out actually these people are compatible. But when people get attracted, they don't know, they don't see beyond if I'm attracted, if it's compatible or not. So spiritually, we cannot see much many times because we're not that advanced. So someone who is beyond, he can understand the mind, he can understand where we are, he can see a little bit the future, then he can tell us what is our best situation. But we have to speak up. I think there's a story of Prabhupada where one day Prabhupada told him to do something, the devotee left. And Prabhupada in the class said, I like better you telling me that Prabhupada I can undo than leave. So you have to, it's a question of, you know, speaking your mind, listening, and with that, then you have to focus your mind. You can't just jumping up and down. Make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. Sometimes we may feel that the other person doesn't always have our best interest at heart.
But Krishna has your interest. Because the thing is, some people may, like in the beginning of the movement, a few gurus fell down. So you may say, wow. But this is also Krishna's arrangement. Not even one piece of grass moves without Krishna's arrangement. So ultimately, there's something there that Krishna is doing. So if we sincere, Krishna will make arrangement. I don't know if you experience that, but sometimes your schedule is so busy, you can't do little things in the house or what. And then somewhere or another, after a month or two, it gets resolved. Somewhere or another, Krishna, by His potency, makes an arrangement and it's done. You never experienced that? So what I'm trying to say is, we have to work on our sincerity, on our desires. Then Krishna will send the people to help us. Because Prabhupada says, it's a world of cheaters and cheated. So because they want to be cheated, then the cheaters are coming. So we have to work on our real desire inside, what we actually want. And then Krishna will send. Krishna will send everything. Krishna arranges everything. Krishna loves us so much. Even someone says Krishna once, Krishna, oh, he becomes so attracted. He takes that person and embraces that person. Why? Because he said it's so rare in the world, through all these species, through all the universe, someone said my name, Krishna. Because he's hankering. It's like your son is lost, your daughter's lost. And one day she comes and says, Papa, Mama, oh. So touching, right? Because he left. So Krishna, all these as his children, he loves, so much love for his children. So Krishna loves us and wants the most of us. But he cannot force us. So if we have that sincere desire, Krishna will make all the arrangements for us. So yes, we could put it on others. And ultimately, you know the story of the Avanti Brahmin? This Avanti Brahmin, this is Sannyas mantra, is the Avanti Brahmin mantra. So he was rich. Then he lost everything, then people left him. Then he started going to villages and the boys were bad. They would come and pee on him. They would throw stone on him. And he was so angry. And gradually he realized, this is not the fault of the demigods or the children or this. It's my karma. And he became so peaceful. Yes.
So basically, if we stick with the process and remain sincere, then in our determination,
yes,
will resolve.
Yes.
Yes.
Shrita Swami says, not our Shrita Swami, but the Acharya, he said that even if you run on the path of devotional service with closed eyes, you cannot fall. We have to understand that we're so used to Maya taking care of us, but if we fall in Krishna, Krishna will take care of us. We have to be determined to understand that. And suffering is nothing. We've been suffering for so many lifetimes. Yes, it's austerities. We have to go and we have to tolerate. One quality of the Brahman is tolerance. We have to be patient, we have tolerant, we have to be enthusiastic. But if we don't tolerate, we'll go back to the mind again. Oh, I can't tolerate, I have to go. So we have to tolerate. If we can't tolerate, how we make spiritual advancement? Our goal is, I want to be able to chant, be an associate of devotees and serve. Whatever suffering it is, I'm going to go beyond that because that's what I want. Because the devotee doesn't want anything that will interfere with the relationship with Krishna. He doesn't want to do anything that will break that relationship. So therefore he's scared. It's like when you love someone, you're not going to go one side to another cheating because you don't want to break that relationship. You know, if I do this, it's going to break my relationship. So this is how the devotee sees his relationship with Krishna. He doesn't want to do anything that's going to stop it. So yes, ultimately the authorities have to do the proper things, you know, all this is there. But ultimately, it is Krishna's arrangement. Because Prabhupada says that, okay, the kamis, it's karma. But when Krishna takes care, it becomes Krishna himself. Like Babaji Maharaj, Gokishore Das Babaji, he says that the Damvasis, it's like Vaikuntha, these people are so advanced. And if they do monkey business, bad business, that bad business, then they become dogs. Or they become monkeys. They suffer a lot, short while, then they die. They go back to Godhead. But he says that you should not think that their suffering is coming from karma. It's coming from Krishna. So we already in the boat. Krishna loves us, taking care of us. We've showed Krishna that we're trying. So we just have to be tolerant and continue on the process and everything will come. We can't give up. And we have to get out from the unconscious zones, you know, the halfway devotional service. You know, the mind is thinking, okay, I'm doing okay, you know. The mind's cheating also. Just do a little bit, it's fine. Because he knows he can't take you out. So he says, okay, so do halfway. Okay, you can do halfway, no problem. No, the mind is cheating again there. No, I want to do full way. You know what I'm saying? The mind's very smart. It knows it can't take you out. So okay, like my mother, she thought it would take 10 years, you know. He'll come out of it. My parents are favorable, but we still see things come out. After 10 years, she figured out he's not to come out of it. So the mind, if you do it enough, the mind will say, okay, I understand. And then the mind will surrender and help you serve Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.